Hello, I'm Eddie Merckx. Welcome to the VeloCast.
Welcome once again to another edition of the VeloCast. My name is Scott.
And I'm John.
Well, obviously stung by our criticism of him yesterday, Mark Cavendish hit back to take today's stage into Montargis.
Hey, less of that. I'm going to defend us a wee bit.
Wow, okay. It wasn't harsh criticism, but it was.
No, I mean, there was a feeding frenzy in the press. I mean, really. We had people on the forum, people on Twitter, you know, people sending carrier pigeons from their granny's pigeon loft in Preston Pans to us, writing off Cav's chances of the green jersey and everything. And I still don't think his head's in the right place for that, but he's certainly not out for the count on that. And today, it was that celebration was like letting a cork out of a bottle of champagne, which is strangely appropriate since they started in Epernay.
Well, I mean, you yesterday said that, you know, no one can get that slow that quickly.
Exactly, I did. And I'm pinning our whole survival on that one phrase.
I mean, in our defence, I mean, I've not listened back to what we blethered yesterday, but I thought yesterday we were talking about how Cavendish mentally wasn't at the races rather than just pure out-and-out criticism of him.
Yeah. The thing that got me, and I mean, I let rip with a fairly sarky tweet late last night about the press, is there's so much pressure now that it's almost become tabloid, even from the established cycling press. You know, they're looking for the story, and the, you know, so are we, to be blunt. But Cav, he doesn't lose the form that saw him win six stages last year overnight, and he's been preparing for this tour. We'll see whether whether his form and his head holds out, but he's now on, I think, 50 points for the green jersey against 102 for Thor Hushovd.
That's right, yeah.
So in one day, you know, his deficit's slashed, and, you know, that's a race that's still got to be run. But well done, HTC. Well done, Garmin. I mean, Garmin, Tyler Farrar, what a guy. You know, he's got cojones the size of footballs. Broken wrist, and he's, you know, thinking about contesting sprints again today. Mm. Pataki showed he wasn't a flash in the pan because he was still near the front. But Cav lit the afterburners, and, you know, I'm the first person, and occasionally I'm too vociferous in criticising what he says, you know, and his attitude and that sort of thing. But the one thing I've always been open about is it's a thrill to watch him when he just shuts up in races, and that's what happened today.
Absolutely, and it was his usual lead out man of Mark Renshaw that took Cavendish expertly to almost the finish line in the closing kilometre. I didn't think HTC were the dominant force in those closing kilometres that either they've been even yesterday or the day before, or we certainly saw them last season. The fact that Garmin were there probably more so than HTC was a bit telling.
Well, I think it's actually telling that Garmin have improved. I mean, I think they came in last year. I mean, they had Christian van der Velde, who I think we're going to talk about in a wee while.
Yeah.
And I think Wouters has been quite open that he had high hopes last year for Wiggins. So they came in with a more kind of GC-biased team. This year, Farrar, I mean, we talked about how he'd started winning, and that might just bump him up a standard. So the team was split even before Christian van der Velde dropped out. I think HTC have dropped maybe a wee bit in dominance, but I think Garmin have come ready to play in Farrar's, or on Farrar's behalf. And I think they're just a wee bit better, and HTC are maybe a wee bit worse. But even in the sprints, this is, yeah, it's turning into a really exciting race this year. You know, it's really difficult to predict what's going to happen.
Mm. Did you see the, I'm overplaying this now and deliberately so, the argy-bargy between Hushovd and Renshaw just as Renshaw was winding things up for Cav?
Oh, I did, but that was just classic sprinters.
No, I'm deliberately overplaying it. I just thought it was quite amusing that Renshaw and Hushovd were going shoulder to shoulder, bumping each other out of the way.
I've said it before, you know, these modern sprinters are soft Southern Nancy boys compared to proper sprinters like Olaf Ludwig and Tom Steels.
Oh, it was, you know...
That's almost a kiss compared to proper sprinting.
Headbutts and punches.
Bottles thrown at 40 miles an hour.
Germany's Gerard Cholik from Milram made his move, obviously, at the same time as Cavendish, but, I mean, he just couldn't match Cav for speed or power and finish second. Meanwhile, Edvard Boelsen-Hagen from Team Sky came from behind Cavendish to take third. Now, I noticed there didn't seem to be any kind of organised lead-out train for Boelsen-Hagen from Sky. I mean, I'll be honest, I may have missed it right enough, but those jerseys are so easy to spot in the peloton. It just seemed like Boelsen-Hagen was there on his own.
Boelsen-Hagen's a talented enough rider to make his own train out of other teams, but also they've got bigger fish to fry. I mean, not just Wiggins. Geraint Thomas is they're talking about he's lost weight, but he's maintained his power this year. So he's another person that might need support in the mountains. So I think they're keeping their powder dry and keeping their riders safe for when they're really needed.
Yeah. Hushovd himself finished fifth, so he keeps his green jersey there, and we talked about the points situation a moment ago. Robbie McEwen finished seventh, and Alessandro Petacchi came in eighth.
Yeah, as I say, top 10, and I really want to speak out on Pataki's behalf, because what got me so cross last night was there were a lot of people, as well as their treatment of Cav, there were a lot of people who were saying that Pataki's victories were hollow because Cavendish hadn't come with his best game, and, you know, when he'd won his first stage, for example, all the best guys were behind the crash. You can only beat the people that are in front of you, and Pataki's done that twice in the hardest, biggest race in the world that everybody's prepared for. So, you know, you can't take anything away from Pataki's wins.
No, absolutely not. And we mentioned a moment ago a further chapeau to Farrar, who was 10th, but still recovering, obviously, from that wrist injury that he sustained the other day.
Well, he needs to get better quick, because my fantasy team aren't doing too well.
Oh, we'll come to that as well later.
No, we won't.
Mark Cavendish himself said, "It means everything to win. It's incredibly emotional. All the pressure and emotion built up, but it's finally over. It was hard this year. I always said everything was about the Tour de France, and things didn't go our way yesterday, and I let them down massively."
See, he's opened his goal, but I actually don't mind that.
Yeah,
you know, that's a proper gracious winner's speech, where he's thanking his team and taking responsibility for yesterday. If he just said that all the time instead of all the nonsense, he'd be the complete sprinter that I want him to be.
Yeah. Fabian Cancellara finished safely in the peloton, and obviously he'll then keep his yellow jersey for another day, and as such the overall classification essentially remained unchanged.
Well, you know, it's truce time to all the hills now, isn't it?
Yeah, the next test is obviously, I think, what, Saturday, when we kind of hit the Alps as we head down towards them tomorrow.
Well, I mean, tomorrow, they're in the Jura tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they're not easy days. I mean, they're sticky roads. So we might see some action tomorrow, but I think everybody's just waiting until the big mountains arrive. Unless people aren't, so am I. I'm gagging for it now.
We mentioned it a moment ago, but Jonathan Vauters has told Christian van der Velde to go home and forget about racing until he has the motivation to come back.
That sounds to me like Vauters wanted to stop that sentence before he said until he has the motivation to come back.
Yeah, when asked about where van der Velde's latest crash has left the cyclist's career, Vauters replied, "Actually, that's a reasonable question. At this point in time, Christian needs to go home and forget about bike racing for a while and get back to the things that he enjoys in life, and then decide when he feels like he's ready to race and he wants to race again. He's got to decide that he really wants to get back into it, and that's going to be something that he's going to have to figure out." So that sounds fairly serious to me.
That sounds like the soundbite equivalent of pinching your nose and, you know, miming flushing a toilet.
No, it doesn't sound too good for van der Velde at the minute. And coming from someone like Jonathan Vauters, who is at times probably more honest and more open than he should be, it sounds to me that Christian van der Velde himself has been crying into his cornflakes every morning.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, the guy, I've said before, you make your own luck, but he has extravagantly bad luck. I think his career as a GC rider's over. You know, if he's going to come back, it's going to be as a high-class domestique. Before we get on to you kind of gloating, and I have to say, frankly, far, far too counting your chickens before they're hatched.
I ain't counting any chickens, I'm just gloating at the moment.
Off air, you were counting your chickens very, very hard in my direction. In fact, I said a bad word, which I might do again. You know, we apologised yesterday for getting the Bertie Mechanical and the last 3K thing wrong.
Yes.
Well, it's got to be said, it's kind of carrying on, because I got a really interesting tweet from Stagehopper on Twitter, which started, on Vino and Bertie, a mechanical in the last 3K is covered by Tour de France regulations, Article 20, page 32. Which I went and looked at, and bloody rings in French. I mean, are they not civilised enough to do the rules in English?
Oh, I'd just like to point out that the comments made by Mr. Galloway do not represent that of the Velocast.
No, me neither. We're both francophiles, we know that. And he thinks the problem was that, at the finish line, Bert blurted out that he'd had the problem for 30 kilometres. And that if he'd said, oh, it only happened 2K out, he might have got the same time. So now we don't know what's happening. You know, we don't know if Vino is clever or stupid. We don't know if Bert's clever or stupid. But, you know...
Do you want my suspicions? They're both very stupid.
I'm sure there are hordes of international UCI commissaires listening to the Velocast on a daily basis. So if somebody could get in touch and clear this up for me, I'm confused.
I'm just going to stick with they're both very, very stupid and leave it at that. Right, let's get to the gloating, as I've been waiting, quite frankly, too long for this. Positions in the La Gazzetta della Velocast mini league. Where are you at the minute, Mr. Galloway?
I'm at 165th, I think.
No, sorry, there was obviously a problem with the line there. That was very quiet.
I'm completely average. I'm right in the middle of the league.
163rd, I believe.
Oh, it's better than I thought, actually. I thought it was 165th.
Oh, 163rd, unless it's just suddenly changed. Where is my team at the minute? Did you happen to notice?
104 places above me.
59th. Get it up, you.
Well, see, there's two images I'm not having. I was really disturbed with your spanking image the other day.
which I apologise for. Well,
I've got
more
to say,
so
I'm
spanking
not
your wife than you, I have to say.
Well, I'm not entertaining any images of you spanking me, far less getting it up me.
That's only because I'm scared of your wife, which is the only reason that I'm
a wise man. She's small but vicious.
Yes.
You know, I would love to say that I was snookered because of Farrar and Hesink, and to be honest, I was, but it was your lucky, and I've got no doubt, accidental pick of Pataki that swung the thing.
You cheeky swine!
I'm just saying.
Right,
it's okay. It's a long game, let's wait till the end.
Right, we shall, but I'm an elephant, I don't forget things like that.
Well, that's because we've recorded it, you can go back and check.
Cut me to the quick, Galloway, there.
Actually, talking about the league... The prizes keep coming in thick and fast. And the first actually was really impressive. Regular listeners to the Velocast will have heard me saying you're far better to invest in coaching than, for example, Bling Wheels if you want to get faster. And today, Colin Batchelor got in touch with me and offered 3 months free coaching. Now, if he was the coach of the local kind of Boy Scout cycling team, it would be a generous offer. But he actually runs a company called Total Cycle Coach. Now, currently amongst their clients are two folk you may have heard of. Jess Hastings, one of them. And the other one's a person who spends most of his day staring at Jess Hastings' bottom. And his name's David Harmon, who's the commentator for Eurosport.
Of course he is, yes.
So, you know, they're the fairly high-profile coaching company. And my next thought was he's going to offer a wee bit of advice. And he is. And he's going to offer it for 3 months.
Three months. Wow.
Which is enough to turn a season around. You know, I mean, a 3 month training block is a really significant chunk of time. And the package isn't just anything. It's a full coaching support suitable for competitive riders or you know, non-competitive riders like sportive riders, for example. It includes weekly training plans with daily changes if you need them. Lifestyle analysis, goal setting, nutritional analysis, in and out of competition, advice on tactics, etc., etc. If you're not racing, he'll even design a basic fitness programme for you. And the only proviso is that you must be over 16, and he's not really interested in cycle speedway or BMX. This is an... Well, who is? Let's be blunt. This is an awesome prize. I mean, I nearly wet myself when he said that. This and Sean at Cycle Systems, these are two prizes that really hit my buttons because they're things I care about. So, you know, thanks, Colin, for that.
Yeah.
And the other one... All day I've been trying to work out to talk about this. Have we ever discussed Rafa on the show?
The name rings a bell, certainly.
I think they make fairly poor copies of our...
of our wonderful cycling jersey, of course, today.
Yeah, I got the jerseys today, actually. They're gorgeous. Our Velocast team jersey, which you can't buy, so I don't know why I'm pimping them. But Rafa, underneath my current of disdain, I've always said I really like their stuff. It's just the whole kind of image that annoys the hell out of me, to be blunt. But one of the things that I really like is Richard Mitchelson does those brilliant T-shirts and prints with, you know, cartoons, stylized cartoons of famous riders from the past.
Yeah, there's tons. There's Fignon. There's
Fignon, Merckx, yeah. You know, sundry folk. And yeah. They're really good and really stylish. And he's done a print for Rafa, or for Roller, actually, who are the Rafa Associated magazine, who've just opened their new print shop at rollerprints.com. Which I looked at, it's really quite nice. So if you want some stylish cycling art and collectibles, go to a Rafa Associated thing. Oh, I feel dirty.
Do I sit down?
But this print of Richard is a brilliant print of the Peloton speeding past spectators. And it's called Riders Swooshing Past. And the riders are essentially a colour blur, if you like. And the background's in, you know, stark focus. But it's stylised in the way that Richard's work is. Sells for £75 on the Roller Prints site, and Richard's going to sign it for us, which will add at least, I don't know, 20 or 30 pence to the value of the thing.
Jesus, so, why didn't you?
Yeah, so go and check out, I'm going to say it again, rollerprints.com, which it's got some really nice stuff. I mean, I love Richard's art. And if you want to, you could check richmitch.co.uk to see, you know, some of his other ramblings about cycling and that sort of thing. And follow him, you know, Rich Mitch on Twitter. So, these are great prizes. This turned out as a bit of a laugh. And we're getting prizes where we're going to have to put some serious thought into how to award them. And I'd like to thank all the folk that are offering prizes, but also all the folk that are spanking me in the league.
Well, I think that's probably all we have time for today. Thanks so much for listening and staying subscribed. You can contact us by visiting our website at velocast.co.uk, where you can also find out how you can donate or subscribe to the show. Now, if you've enjoyed this show, please consider leaving a comment or review in iTunes, as this really helps other people discovering it. Well, I hope you can join us again tomorrow, once the race has headed southeast towards the Alps, for another edition of the Velocast.